Thank you so much, Eric and Jim. And won't we just take a minute to express our appreciation to these guys leading us tonight, can't we? Thank you, guys. We love them and thank God for them. Well, I want to welcome you to the Worship Center Bible study that takes place here on Wednesday nights. And we're glad you're here. This is the fourth week. So if this is maybe your first one, you missed the first three. But Brother Allen did the first three, and I'm doing this month. And then Brother Allen's going to catch back up in November to be with us. But hey, we're glad you're here tonight. Some of you are struggling. I talked to somebody a minute ago, and they said, we're just glad to be here. We've been huffing and puffing all week long just to get here. But you know, Wednesday night is like that. You know, on Monday and Tuesday, if you're thinking you're having a bad week, man, if I just get there on Wednesday night, have you ever had that thought? Three of you? If I just get here on Wednesday night, man, I'll get something in my stomach, get to fed, get to worship a little bit, and I'm going to be good until Sunday. So these Wednesday night times together are important, aren't they? And so we're glad you're here tonight. And a couple of announcements before we get started. I want to remind you that we're in the process of enlisting members of our church to be a part of October the 20th, Go Love Serve. We have identified 100 mission projects around our community that we're going to be a part of that day. And we've had about 600 plus of you already sign up. And we need about 1,500 of you. Or we're going to have to call some of these people back and say, hey, we can't be there on the 20th. So if you've not signed a card yet, they're out here in the commons area. It's that back wall. And if you'll just make a mental note right now to go ahead and say, hey, I'll do that. Some of us are doing it in groups, like the choir's doing one. Sunday school classes are doing a group or a mission project. Or you can just say, hey, just put me wherever you need me. I'm just going to be available that day to do whatever needs to be done. There's some categories. You can look at these. There's 11 of them listed. But those 11 categories represent over 100 mission projects that we're doing October the 20th. On the back of it, it describes what they are, okay? So these are groups. We have more than 11 of them. These are just headings. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay, listen, you're going to have to respond better than that tonight, okay, as we get going here in a minute. So that's Go Love Serve October 20th. Second thing I need to tell you is we're in the process of nominating men to serve as deacons. You can do it online. You can do it by ballot. I think they're still out here in the commons. You can get them in Sunday school Sunday. I think we have till October 20th to do it. I'm asking you to be a part of the process. I'm going to be nominating some people. And if I can, I've only been here a year, but in a year I've got to know some men that, you know, I thought they ought to be a deacon. They've got a heart for disciple making. They've got a heart for servant leadership and the prayer warriors. And those are the kind of men that we're looking for to serve our church as deacons, okay? So I'm just asking you to be part of that. Now, the third thing I need to tell you is about next week. Next week is fall break, okay? That means that we're not having anything going on here Wednesday night, except I think maybe choir is. Those choir people meet no matter what happens, okay? So that's going to happen next Wednesday. So that means that we're not meeting in here next Wednesday. So if you come in here to eat, you're not going to have anything to eat. If you come in here for a Bible study, you're going to be by yourself, just you and the Lord. Take a few moments, open the book, read it, study it, and you're going to have to do your own Bible study next week. Okay? So I know you're going to forget that. You're going to show up next Wednesday. So when you walk into an empty room, you go, oh, yeah, that's right. It's fall break. I told that to somebody out there a minute ago, and they said, is it already spring break? Listen, people are confused. It's fall. I know it doesn't feel like it, but it is fall break next week. Okay? So just make yourself a mental note or put a note, don't come next week or whatever, okay? Hey, listen, I want to introduce some folks that are here tonight, friends of mine, Jim and Linda Mumpower. I was their pastor in Georgia for many years, and they have driven up here from Marietta, Georgia, to be here tonight. They're right here in the front, second row. So you welcome the Mumpowers, and I'm trying to get them to join First Cleveland. It's an hour and a half drive, hour and 45 minutes. I told him a moment ago, it's worth the drive. So you pray for Jim and Linda that they'll get convicted and they'll come on and be a part of our church. Next to them is this little lady down here. This little lady next to my wife is my sister. My little sister. And so be kind to her. Be nice to her tonight, okay? She's been a pastor's wife for nearly 40 years. And now her husband serves in Colorado at the Colorado Baptist Convention. He and I went to school together, graduated together. And she's my little sister. She's only 5 feet tall. But she's much older than I am. So, you know, she's my older sister. She's the only one I got. So be nice to her. And don't ask her for stories. Please don't do that, okay? So if you get a chance, just greet her and let her know that it's good to have her here tonight. Hey, aren't you glad to be here? Listen, we're going to have a great time tonight. And I hope you've got your Bible with you. I hope you've got something to write on, write with. Because we're here tonight to study God's Word. And tonight, we're going to begin a new series of messages. There are five of them in all. And it's entitled, Making Sense of Your Senses. Have you ever wondered why God gave you five senses? I mean, have you ever stopped and pondered, God, why these five? And why did you give them to us? I mean, this taste and sight, hearing, touch, and smell. Well, what we're going to do over the next few weeks, we're going to discover together why God gave us these five senses, okay? Making sense of our senses. So why did God give them to us? Well, let's just start out by being real practical tonight, okay? To begin with, God gave us taste to help keep us satisfied. He gave us the sense of taste to help keep us satisfied. Hey, imagine how boring it would be if you stood out here in this line, paid your money, got your food, sat down, and there was no taste to anything that you ate. I mean, how boring that would be. I mean, think for just a moment, a cold, refreshing Coca-Cola in the middle of the hot summer. It wouldn't be quite as refreshing if you couldn't taste it. But right now, think about a cold piece of watermelon in the summer. Man, there's nothing tastes any better to me than a piece of cold watermelon on a hot summer day. But would it be all that exciting if we couldn't taste it? Think about your favorite meal. You got a favorite meal? I mean, if you had one last meal to eat, the doctor says you got one. I'm going to say the doctor and not the officer. If the doctor said you got one last meal, what would it be? Hey, and my question is to follow up, would it be your favorite meal if you couldn't taste it? See, God gave us taste to help keep us satisfied. But you know, God gave us sight to help keep us safe, to keep us safe. I mean, it's through our sight that we know when to cross the street without getting run over. It's our sight that helps us as we go through the woods and there's a snake down there on the pathway. It's our sight that says to us, I need to avoid that area. So it's our sight that helps keep us safe. God gave us hearing to help make us sure. You say, sure about what? Well, sure about what's coming around the corner. Sure about what's behind us, what's ahead of us. And by being able to hear that, it helps keep us safe and sure. God gave us touch to help make us secure. I mean, the security that we get from touch starts at birth. In fact, I read this week, and I quote, that babies that were touched gain weight as much as 50% faster than untouched babies. They're more active, alert, and responsive, more aware of their surroundings, better able to tolerate noise, and they orient themselves faster and are emotionally more in control and better to calm and console themselves when they're touched. Hey, and it starts at birth. I'm just saying, there's something about being touched that gives us a greater sense of security. I mean, there's just something about the human touch, isn't there? Yes, there is. Well, and last, God gave a smell in order to help keep us sharp. I mean, suppose you're in bed, middle of the night, sound asleep, and your house catches on fire, and your nose smells smoke, something burning, wakes you up, could very well save your life. So I think about these five senses. And man, aren't you just grateful tonight? And you may have never, ever thought about it. But aren't you grateful tonight for these God-given senses to help make us safe, help make us sure, help make us satisfied, help us secure, and be sharp? Aren't you grateful for these senses? Have you ever considered that they are a gift from God? But you know, as wonderful as all that is, I got to thinking about that. I thought, you know, there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, there's got to be more than what we just talked about, describing these senses, why God gave them to us. And as good as all those are in helping us navigate our way through each day and frankly through life, would you believe that there is even a greater reason for God giving us these five senses? Well, there is. You say, well, Ernest, what could be a greater reason for God to give us these five senses than to help us to function? Well, along with helping us to function, God gave us these five senses to help give us faith. You listening? Not just to help us function, but to help give us faith. Hey, think about this. Greater than helping us to function physically is helping give us faith spiritually. And you ought to write that down, because that's why God gave us these senses. I'll say it again. Greater than helping us to function physically is helping us or give us faith spiritually. In other words, God didn't just give us these five senses to make us safe, to make us sure, satisfied, secure, sharp. But he also gave us these five senses to help make us saved. To make us saved. I mean, that is to help bring us into a relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Granted, there are physical needs met through our senses, but there are also spiritual needs that are met through our senses as well. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 5 weeks. We're going together to help make sense of our senses. Physically, yes, but don't stop there. Because in addition to help our physical senses, they're also, listen to this, they're also our spiritual senses. You say, what does that mean? It means this, that these five senses help us to know God. They help us to see God. They help us to hear God. They help us draw near to God. Now, having said that, I want you to look with me to Psalm 34. That's where we're going to start tonight, Psalm 34. Psalm 34, we find David giving praise to God and rejoicing because through God, his leadership and his power and his strength, David has just had a great victory over his enemy, Abimelech. So we just got through having a war. God saw them through it. They had great victory. Now David is breaking out in song and in psalm praising God for the victory. I'm in Psalm 34, beginning in verse 1. Here's what he says. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamp all around those who fear him and delivers them. Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Young lions lack and suffer hunger, But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Do I have an amen? Man, what a great psalm of praise this is and rejoicing. Well, the focus tonight is really in verse 8, where David says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." Notice verse 8. Oh, taste that the Lord is good. Here in the middle of this psalm of praise, David mentions one of the five senses that God's given us. It is the sense of taste. Oh, taste that the Lord is good. A few weeks ago, we were singing that verse. I don't know what song it was, like a chorus or something. We were singing Psalm 34:1, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I was sitting right back there, and I thought, man, that is such a great song, great truth right out of the Bible. And we got through singing, and everybody goes, "Amen, man, that's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." In my mind, I thought, but what does that mean? I mean, what does it really mean to taste that the Lord is good? Well, the word translated taste, it's a word that means more than just eating something. It means to savor something. It means to discover something. It means to perceive something. See, the sense of taste, I'm telling you, it is really incredible. What starts out on our tongue ends up in our brain. It's our brain that tells us what the taste is. It's not our tongues. Interesting, the brain has a mind of its own when it comes to recognizing taste. In fact, here's how it works. Faith Burney, in her book called Brain Sense, explains what's needed to create a sense of taste. I quote, "Here's what's needed for you to have a sense of taste. You need one set of taste buds containing all the right cells and receptors. One brain with a region specialized for handling inputs from taste buds. You need one set of neurons to carry messages from the taste buds to the brain. Another set of neurons in the brain to send the appropriate taste signals to other processing centers, such as the emotions where feelings about taste reside, and the cognitive center where decisions of likes and dislikes are made." Man, there's a lot in that. In fact, in that same research, I read that we have as many as 10,000 taste buds on our mouth, in our mouth, on our tongue. Some 3,000, 4,000, some as many as 10,000. And I quote, "Within each one of them," listen to this, "about 50 taste cells busily relaying information to a neuron which alerts the brain." I mean, it's really incredible. Your brain is sectioned off in different areas for sweet, sour, all the different things that we can taste. Our tongue shoots a message to the brain, and the brain informs us what it tastes like. Is that incredible? I mean, it really is incredible. By the way, our taste buds wear out every 7 to 10 days, and they regenerate. Every 7 to 10 days, your taste buds die off, and they regenerate themselves. And I discovered this, that we have fewer taste buds at 40 than we did at 14. Because as you get older, they don't regenerate as much. So you lose taste buds the older you get. Now, some of you looking around here, you ought to be lucky to have 2 or 3 left, okay? Because I'm just telling you, they just don't regenerate as you get older. That's why as you get older sometimes, you catch yourself at the dinner table pouring more salt, more pepper on that piece of meat or those vegetables than you did when you were younger, because you don't have as many taste buds sending messages to your brain what it tastes like. You only get this stuff on Wednesday night. I was studying about the tongue and taste, but do you realize that a cow, has 25,000 taste buds? You got no more than 10. The cow has 25,000 taste buds. And I thought, now why did God give the cow so many taste buds and he only gave us up to 10? Well, it didn't take me long to figure it out. It is because their tongue is much longer than our tongue. And be grateful that it is. Because if your tongue was as long as the cow's tongue, you'd have 25,000 plus taste buds as well. You say, well, if how long is the cow tongue? 18 inches. 18 inches. Listen, we have enough time controlling the length of our tongue. Can you imagine trying to control the tongue if you had a 25-inch tongue? You say, well, how long is my tongue? I know you're thinking that. The average human tongue is 3.3 inches long. You say, how can that be? I know you want to stick your tongue out and measure. But don't do it, please. They measure from the epiglottis. Do you know what the epiglottis is? You can't see it down your throat. It's cartilage that prevents food from entering your windpipe and your lungs when you eat. It's a flap, a cartilage flap in your throat. Epiglottis. There'll be a test after this. The Guinness Book of World Records on human tongues. Thank you. It's 3.97 inches. The Guinness Book of World Records. There's a woman in Florida. She claims to have a 4.48 inch tongue. And I quote, if verified, would lick the 3.97 inch tongue in the current record holder. I saw a video of her and her tongue. It's on YouTube. She can take the tip of her tongue. Are you watching this? I can't do it. And she can reach over here and touch. It's on YouTube. I saw it. Here. She can touch her earlobe. I'm telling you, she can do it. In fact, she can put it and touch her top of her eye, her tongue. It's unbelievable. She has more than 10,000 taste buds. If she's got a tongue that long. Hey, you know what? When I consider this God-given sense of taste has been given to us, not just to help us function, but to help give us faith, it makes me say with the psalmist, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, in that my soul knows very well. And I would add, and my tongue knows very well too. So you say, well, what's the point of all this? Well, I want us to go back to Psalm 34. And I want us to understand here tonight the significance of this sense of taste and why God gave it to us. I'm going to give you three reasons God gave it to us, this sense of taste. And you ought to jot them down. Here's number one. He gave it to us so that we can know His goodness, so that we can know God's goodness. Look at it, verse 8. Oh, taste what? That the Lord is what? That the Lord is good. I'm telling you, there's something that God wants us to discover. There's something He wants us to know, to perceive, to taste. And here it is. He wants us to know that He is good. You want to know why God gave you the sense of taste? Here's one reason. So that we can know God's goodness. I mean, think about it. When you're savoring that perfectly cooked ribeye, and you're chewing it, and you're swallowing it, and you say to yourself, man, that is good. And what are you saying? You're saying that that ribeye steak is pleasing all 10,000 of your taste buds and sending a very happy message to your brain. I mean, that's what you're saying. So when the Bible says, oh, taste that the Lord is good, he's saying that what you taste is pleasing, it's desirable, and recognizing that it's because of God's goodness that you have it. I'll give you an example. Every time you taste a grape from a vine, every time you taste honey from a hive, every time you taste a fig from a tree, every time you taste water from a stream, every time you taste a fish from a lake, it's an opportunity to taste that the Lord is good. See, what happens is we're just woofing food down, and we're not even thinking about it. But one reason God gave you that sense of taste is for you to stop and realize how good God is, what he's given you. Hey, don't stop with praying before a meal. I want to challenge you to try to expand that prayer into praise throughout the meal. Now, as good as that is, there's something even better. I mean, it's one thing to physically taste that the Lord is good, but there's something even greater to be able to taste, spiritually taste, that the Lord is good. You say, well, Lars, hang on just a moment. Man, what do you mean? How do I spiritually taste that the Lord is good? I'm so glad you asked, because I want to show you the answer. It's over in John chapter 4. If you want to turn there with me, John chapter 4. Listen, this is a very familiar account to most of us. This is the account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. You probably know it. But I want you to see what he says here in verse 10. Here's what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Go down to verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Let me tell you something about your God-given sense of taste tonight. When you taste the water of life, you know that God is good. I mean, when you taste everlasting life, you know God is good. Have you tasted everlasting life? Have you? Have you tasted that living water? Yes? I hope you have. Or you say, let's start with that. Or you're saved. Let's start with, if you're saved, you've tasted the living water, right? So you've tasted everlasting life, right? Listen, did you know God's good? Because you've tasted the living water of salvation. Listen, if you have tasted God's mercy and his grace and his forgiveness and his love, if you've tasted that, you know the Lord is good. See, you can know the Lord is good by tasting the water of life that saves us. Amen? Now, as good as that is, there's even more. Because not only can we know the Lord is good by tasting the water that saves us, but we can know that the Lord is good by tasting the pure milk of the Word that strengthens us. That strengthens us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed, watch this, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Hey, did you know that you can taste the Lord is good just as you can taste that the Lord is gracious? You say, well, how? By the pure milk of the Word. I mean, just as a mother's milk provides a baby to grow and to develop and to strengthen, it's the pure milk of the Word of God that allows His children to grow and develop and to become spiritually strong. Now, as wonderful as the pure milk of the Word is for growing and developing and strengthening us spiritually, I want to remind you something. The pure milk of the Word can only take you so far. There has to come a time in the life of every believer that we put down the milk and we pick up the meat. Put down the milk and pick up the meat of the Word of God. Hey, do you ever wonder why so many believers act like babies? Do you know any believers like that? They just act like babies. They whine. And Baptist babies are the worst whiners I have ever dealt with in my life. Sometimes I just want to say, hey, do you want a little cheese with that wine? That's okay. I thought you did. I mean, they're like spiritual brats running around the church, acting like babies. Do you ever wonder how that happens? I tell you how it happens. Because they never got weaned off the bottle. That's why. They became satisfied with the milk and they never moved on to the meat. That was the problem in the church at Corinth. In fact, I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians, Paul dealing with these spiritual brats, whiners, babies, that never got weaned off the bottle. They never took that next step to start eating the meat of the Word of God. And as a result, they were acting like they were acting. Listen to what he says. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ." By the way, the word carnal, it's a Greek word. We get our word flesh. He says in verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able, for you are still fleshy. You are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" He's writing to believers that never got weaned off the bottle. They never took that next step of setting down the bottle of milk and picking up the meat of the Word of God and growing and maturing. The book of Hebrews talks about it, chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age," that is, mature, "that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." See, to taste that the Lord is good, it begins with tasting the water of life that saves us. It involves tasting the pure milk of the Word of God that strengthens us. But I'm telling you, next comes tasting the meat of the Word of God that sanctifies us. It's the milk of the Word, or the milk of the, the water that saves us. It's the milk that strengthens us, but it is the meat that sanctifies us. See, first we comes the water, then the milk, followed by the meat of the Word of God. Hey, let me tell you something. when you mix all that together, the water, the milk, and the meat, and you put it all together, you can say with the psalmist in Psalm 119:103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." I'm going to tell you something. It begins with the sense of taste. That's why God gave it to us, to know that he's good. But there's a second thing in Psalm 34 that I want you to see. Because not only did God give us this sense of taste to know that God's goodness, but the second thing is for us to grow in our trust in God. Not only to know, but to grow. Go back to Psalm 34. In verse 8, he says, "Oh, taste that the Lord is good." And watch this. "Blessed," the word means happy or fortunate. "Blessed is the man who," what? "Trust in him." Fortunate. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. By the way, the word trust, it speaks of taking refuge or to seek refuge. Let me tell you, you seek refuge in places and people that you trust. Is that true? Say yes. It's true. When we seek refuge in places and in people that we trust. Hey, is trust automatic? I mean, when you just first meet somebody, I mean, are you all in trusting that person? Of course not. Let me tell you what. Trust takes time. Oftentimes it takes trials. Oftentimes it takes test, but it is not automatic. Hey, can I ask you a personal question tonight? Have you learned to trust God? I mean, have you learned to trust God? Let me ask you another way. Are you quick to take refuge in God? Or are you like the children of Israel, waiting for God to do one more miracle, answer one more prayer before you fully trust him? Let me tell you something. The children, listen, God could not do enough to gain the trust of the children of Israel. And he couldn't do enough. I mean, think about this. It wasn't enough that he sent a leader to free them from the Egyptian taskmasters. It wasn't enough that he divided the Red Sea, destroying their enemies before their very eyes. It wasn't enough for him to provide water from a rock in the middle of a desert. It wasn't enough for them to receive manna and quail from God as they went through the desert. It wasn't enough that he guided them with a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Listen, having done all that and more, God never gained their trust. And for many of them, it cost them their very lives out of the desert. And granted, trust comes slowly, but it comes. Trust comes surely, but it comes. You say, well, how do I grow into a genuine trust of God? I mean, so that no matter what my circumstances are, no matter what my challenges are, that as I go through them, as I face them, that I can truly and fully rest and trust in him. I think I'm going to let David give you the answer. Because the key is found here in Psalm 34 in verse 8. I mean, listen, here's the key that unlocks the door of learning to trust God. Here it is, verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who, what? Trust in him. If you circle words in your Bible or underline them, listen, you ought to underline the word taste, and you ought to underline the word trust. And if you write in your Bible, you ought to draw a line linking taste to trust. Because here's the link. The Bible is teaching us that the more we taste his goodness, the more we trust his grace. Did you get that? The more we learn to trust, the more we taste, the more we trust. The more we taste, the more we trust. The flip side is that the less we taste, the less we what? You got it. The more we taste his goodness, the more we trust his grace. Hey, let me ask you something. What more does God have to do in your life to gain your trust? One more thing? Two more things? I mean, does he have to answer one more prayer request of yours to finally gain your trust? Does he have to do one more miracle in your life before gaining your trust? All this, that we can just say, Lord, you don't have to do anything else more than what you've done. You've done enough. I'd solely, fully, truly trust you. Because you are worthy of my trust. You know, we sang a moment ago, I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Remember singing that a moment ago? I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Have you? Are you? Will you? Listen, trust grows with every taste. Our trust grows with every taste. See, that's why God gave us the gift of taste. You know, because so that we can know God's goodness. So that we can grow in our trust in God. But quickly, let me give you a third one, and we're through. And that is to show our satisfaction in God. To show our satisfaction in God. I'm back in Psalm 34, verse 9. He says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want in those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. You know, verse 9 sounds a little bit to me like Matthew 6:33, when Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God. You know that verse? And all his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Psalm 34:9, there is no want to those who fear him. But to those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. In fact, verse 9 sounds a little bit like David over in Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I what? I shall not want. I mean, listen to these words again. Psalm 34:9. There is no want to those who fear him. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Matthew 6:33. All these things shall be added to you. Psalm 23:1, I shall not want. Wow. We're trying to make sense of our senses. Why in the world did God give them to us? Next time together, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. That it's a part about being made in the image of God. See, the reason we see is because God sees. The reason we hear is because God hears. We smell because God smells. We're gonna look at that together next time together. It's a part about being made in the very image of God, these five senses. Well, let me wrap it up. The sense of taste. Oh, taste that the Lord is good. That's why he gave it to us, to know his goodness. By tasting the water of salvation, the water of life that saves us, the pure milk of the Word of God that strengthens us, the meat of the Word of God that sanctifies us. Hey, you want to know why you want to be in a small group, a Sunday school class, a discipleship class, a Wednesday night Bible study? Is to study not just the milk. You've had lots of milk. But it's time for a lot of us to put down the bottle of the milk and pick up the meat of the Word of God. Because the milk only takes us so far. If we're going to be sanctified, becoming more like Jesus, listen, we're going to need the meat of the Word of God. Amen? That's why he gave us the sense of taste. Number two, to grow in our trust in God. Blessed is the man who trusted him, realizing the more we taste, the more we trust. To show our satisfaction in God, there is no want to those who fear him. So first, we know. Second, we grow. Three, we show. And I'll remind you tonight as you walk out of here, there's no greater advertisement for Jesus than a satisfied life. Amen. Oh, taste that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusted him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Hey, let's pray together. Father, it is a joy, a privilege to be in this place tonight studying your word that you've given to us. Lord, our lives have been enriched, challenged. Our love for you is growing even in the moment that we are in. And God, for many of us, we've never even stopped to consider why you gave us these senses. That you gave it to us more than to keep us safe and sure and satisfied, but to help make us saved. Physical needs met through these senses, but also spiritual needs met through these senses. So as we study these together, these weeks together, God, help us to love you more and trust you more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Listen, I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Please don't come back next week. Do not come back next week. Have you ever been uninvited before? I'm uninviting you for next week, but I'm expecting to see you that following week, because we're going to be back in Psalm 34, because David says, oh, taste and what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're going to talk about this sense of sight and why God gave it to us. All right? Hey, invite a friend to be a part of what we're doing here on Wednesday nights. All right? God bless you.